Pray. Grant now, Lord, that your Spirit will lead us into the study of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible reading is a very enjoyable thing to me. I'm always reading it. And sometimes I'm reading and I hit a text. And I find myself just pausing, what did I just read? And that's what happens with this passage that Verona read. Let's go back and look at it, 2 Kings 13. Because you're not ready. You're not ready for this at all. The chapter begins by tracing the history of several kings, several wicked kings, Mike, that occurred just before this amazing incident. And then when they get to one of the kings, Jehoash, the Bible goes back and picks up an incident that takes place. Elisha's sick unto death, and the king goes to see him, and Elisha finds the energy from God to rise up and challenge the king to do an act of faith. It says, take these arrows, your shaft, beat them on the ground. And the king does one, two, three, and stops. And Elisha gets upset. He says, look, you should have hit the ground with those arrows at least six times. You would have defeated your enemies. But now you only defeat them just three times. That's verse 19 of 2 Kings, the 13th chapter. And then the Bible says in verse 20, out of nowhere, read it, come on. Then, hey, everybody, come on. Then, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. Do we have prayer? Did I pray? I did? I'm 75, so you have to help me sometimes. In the spring of the year. Now. Okay, Elisha dies. Next verse. So it was, as they were burying a man, and the tomb of Elisha. Come on, y'all, you can do better than that. And when the man was and touched the bones, whoa! Bible reading breaks. What? What did I just read? A dead body hits dead bones. Come on, y'all. Y'all sitting there like you heard of this before. You ain't heard of this before. A dead body hits dead bones and comes alive. Now, it paints the scene. It paints the scene. The hills around this part of the Palestine are full of caves and so forth, and hills, and a funeral is taking place. You can see the priest somberly leading the group toward the place of burial, and the paid mourners are there, Pastor Marley, and they're crying out and so forth. That's their job. They're paid to do that, and the widow. We're assuming this is a man who they were mourning. The widow was there with her family, and they're marching, piously toward this place. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Moabites, these are descendants from Lot, through incest, constant enemies of the children of Israel, the Moabites appear and attack the funeral procession. Well, the folks in the funeral, they start running. But the pallbearers who have the corpse on their shoulders, they're trapped. They can't run. And this thing has happened suddenly. And so in their haste to get into the race back to town, they just toss the body. And the body cascades into an open cave, hits the bones of Elisha, bounces up. I imagine, because I have a humorous imagination, that when this dead man wakes up and senses the danger, he starts running too. Probably the first funeral in history where the pallbearers looked up and saw the corpse going right by them on the way back to town. You get the picture? It's an awesome story. But why? Why? I mean, why? What is this? Well, the story actually starts back in 1 Kings 19. There is Elijah. You don't need to turn there. There's Elijah, Nicole, and he is the one who will be the mentor for Elisha. And the Lord lets him know it's time for him to take a ride to glory. I'm going to take you up. And so Elijah, wanting his ministry, Elder Trevor, to be extended, goes to find someone he can mentor. Comes past a farm, sees this young man plowing faithfully behind the oxen, and with no announcement choir, Elijah drops his robe, his mantle, on the shoulders of Elisha and keeps on going. Elisha, for some reason, seems to understand, because everybody knew Elijah, the import of the moment, and says, look, let me go say goodbye to my family. I'm on the way. And then without any kind of special urging and so forth, follows Elijah for the rest of the book of 1 Kings. He's not mentioned again. Elisha isn't. And we get to 2 Kings. Go there, 2 Kings. This time, the second chapter. Let's see what we find. Because something very special is going on in this chapter. 2 Kings. Let's try the second chapter. I'm sorry, 1 Kings. Yeah, no, that's it. 2 Kings. Help me, Lord. 2 Kings 2. And, yeah. Elijah's about to go up. And in 2 Kings 2, starting in verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Verse 7. And 50 of the men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing it at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. It was divided this way and that so that the two of them crossed over on the other side. And so it was when they had crossed over. Watch this, y'all. And so it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, what? Come on, y'all, talk to me. What? There's the key. There's the key to the power in Elisha's bones. It's about to come up. The great man of God, Elijah, who is so special, God won't let him die. Come on, somebody. Going to take you up. Elijah turns to Elisha and says, look, before I go, what do you want from me? It will be given to you. This is the moment, because this sermon, hey, this sermon is about priorities. When you get a chance to get from God what you need, what's first on your list?
Here is what Elisha says.
Please, let a... You see it? You see it? Read it. Don't make me a better preacher. Don't give me more property. Don't let me allow degree to be added to degree. Don't give me more land. He was a very successful farmer, Elisha was, he and his family. But as I've observed you, listen to me, church, as I've observed you, Elijah, the thing I want that you have is Holy Spirit power. But, he says, I'm greedy. I don't want just any kind of Holy Spirit power. I've seen what you can do. I, Lord help me, want double. Now, you're responding, but this sermon's about you. This sermon is about you. In these last days, when the church is undergoing unnatural incidents of pressure, in these last days when the church faces the most challenging times we've ever faced, I believe we're very near in this country to fulfilling that prophecy written by Ellen White that the United States will be humbled in the dust. Now I see the possibility when I look at the White House. Humbling is on its way. I believe in these last days the church faces the kinds of things that cannot be handled except by the power of God. And in this day and time, what are we asking from God? Pay my bills. Help me get married. Settle my marital problems. Help me with my kids. What's on the list? You see, brothers and sisters, you're going to find out in a few minutes. If you ask for the right thing, you get every other thing. Our problem is we're asking for the wrong thing and wind up with no thing. Is anybody here the preacher today? And so I am very impressed with this guy, Elisha, because in his Christian walk, he observed Elijah, and there probably were a lot of things that Elijah could do and had that were enviable, but he sorted it out. Sometimes you want to sing like so-and-so and dress like so-and-so and be like so-and-so. Elisha said, I don't want none of that. That power you got. That unquenchable connection that you have. Not only do I want it, Elisha said, I want more. You know, really. If we would just hunger and thirst after righteousness. I read the text. You read it too. Seek ye first. Come on, y'all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these. There's only one person in the Bible, visiting family, there's only one person in the Bible who did more miracles than Elisha. That's Jesus. Elisha did 19, Jesus did 38. Nobody comes close to Elisha. Because the brother, let's be frank about it, had power. Connected! Calm down, Henry. Connected. Connected. He had something because, you see, here's the heart of the message. I'm not going to preach long today. Here's the heart. The heart is, when are you going to start seeking from God what you really need and not what you want? This sermon is the first sermon I'm going to preach on a series on the Holy Spirit. I'm coming at you on the Holy Spirit for the next several weeks. And I want you to understand that there is something, Carol Armstrong, that the church needs, and we're not seeking it like we need to seek it. Yes, and even I am guilty sometimes as a pastor. You know, I want to see the bills paid for the church. I want to see the sanctuary redecorated. I want to see this, that, fixing that, more people baptized. The Lord said, Henry, don't worry about that. Seek power from me. I'll do the rest. Our priorities have to change, y'all. And it's not, my brother, that these things, sure, I want to pay my bills. When I retire, I want to have sufficient money. Yeah. At least I want to hold on to my souped up pickup. I got a pickup, y'all. You have a 2007 Silverado, dual exhaust, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, pastor's ready. Lord said, I don't care. I'm going to burn that up anyhow, Henry. I don't care about that. What you need from me, Henry Wright, is more power than you have, more strength than you have, more faith than you have, more endurance than you have. You're praying for stuff, and I got power that will take you to eternity. We have to come to believe in the necessity of the Holy Spirit. That's our problem, Mike. We don't believe in the necessity of the Holy Spirit. We think it's some addenda, some nice thing to talk about, some pretty speeches to be made. Folk, the Holy Spirit is essential. Acts 17:26. You can't get up in the morning without the Holy Spirit. You thought you woke up. You were awakened. Fine-looking young man here. God tapped you. Put breath back in your lungs one more day. Are you listening to me, folk? These are things, choir members, we cannot take for granted. God is tired of the church ignoring and taking for granted his greatest gift since Jesus, the Holy Ghost. The text says you can't move, you can't bend your fingers without the Holy Ghost. You can't blink your eyelids without the Holy Ghost. You can't bend your knees without the Holy Ghost. Romans 8 says you can't pray without it. You've read the text, Marley. You've preached on it. It says there that we don't even know what to pray for. So the Spirit, Cheatham, comes in. The Spirit comes in to your mind and helps you pray a prayer that God will listen to. Because the footage is in our heads ain't getting up there. Holy Ghost says, I'll help them. If they just open their mouth and say a few words, I'll take it, redo it, rearrange it, revisit it, restore it. So when it gets to heaven, God can say, oh yeah, that makes sense. I can do that. So without the Holy Ghost, we can't pray. We can't move. But more than that, you've read Genesis 1 and verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Creation did not take place without the moving of the Holy Spirit. And so the parallel, my dear lady, is that conversion, which is recreation, somebody say amen, cannot take place without the movement of the Holy Ghost. So here's this heavenly power. And it's right, Rodney, at the fingertips of Elisha. And I think, that moment was key. What do you want? Elijah said, well, what do you want? Here's your moment. Simple sentence. You will be surely saved. Simple sentence. You will be surely saved. Thank you. You'll be surely saved in the moment that you want salvation more than you want anything else. Now don't sit there all pious and act like that's where you are. Want me to say it again? I'll say, you will be surely saved the moment you want salvation more than you want anything else. More than a single lady wants to get married,
more than a poor man wants to get rich, more than a thirsty man wants to get water, more than a lame man wants to walk, more than anything else, I just want to be saved in God's kingdom. That's more important to me than anything else. His priorities were clear. And when you read about his life, I do have notes up here. When you read about his life, it's amazing, blows the mind. 2 Kings chapter 3, 2 Kings chapter 2, he does 3 miracles. 1 miracle in chapter 3, 5 miracles in chapter 4, 2 miracles in chapter 5, 6 miracles in chapter 6, 2 miracles in chapter... He's just a walking power machine. Want something to happen? Call Elisha. Axe heads floating. Bitter waters made clear. He was so full of power. But the punchline is, he brought somebody up to a life when he was dead, y'all. Now the choir wants to hear me preach on this. I know you do. Yes, that's all right. You hear what I said? All those miracles he did, Chris, the first 18, he was alive. Lord Jesus. But the last miracle, nothing but bones. Now, you say that's beyond me. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. I am crucified with Christ. I wish y'all would help me today. Nevertheless, I live. You see, the real Christian is dead. Dead to self, dead to sin, dead to worldliness. We are nothing but walking bones. But because we are walking bones who have been touched by the Spirit, we walking bones can bring people to life. We can testify and witness and talk. Come on, somebody say amen out there. We are also in the grave of self. Let somebody who's not in good shape bounce up against dead Henry Wright, filled with God's Holy Ghost power, and they will come back to life. Yeah, this sermon is about you. You can be a bundle of bones filled with God. You can be dead but alive. You can perform miracles, dead to sin and alive to Christ. I have a quote in the sermon notes. Let's put it up there. Ah. Oh, man. I'm going to stand over here because I want you to read it good. Come on. Together, the promised blessing, claimed by faith, brings all others in its train. Wait a minute. You can see that all the way up there? All right, my brother. I take this off. That's the biggest blur I've ever seen in my life. Okay, let's go. Read it again. The promised blessing, claimed by faith, brings all others in its train. It is given to the riches of the grace of Christ. And he... The only thing limiting your bones from bringing people alive is that you have not increased your capacity by being close to him who is Jesus Christ. More of you needs to die. If you don't have the power of Elisha's bones, it's because too much of you is still alive. Somehow, when they took you down in the water, some of you came back up. Hey, but God is saying you got to die completely, then I'll turn your bones into resurrection power. So you only receive the Holy Ghost according to your capacity to receive, which means you got to get out of the way and let Jesus take charge. Could somebody say amen to that? This is simple gospel, y'all. Nothing amazing about this. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, any man be in Christ is a new creature. Galatians 2:20, you got to be crucified. And Romans 6:3, 4, and 5 says, when you were baptized, Frank Peterson says, you came up, we buried you. We buried you. I'll hold old Frank down a couple extra seconds. We buried you. Buried you. Brought him up. But not him. Christ in him. Do you see it, saints? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When at the end of the day, and the beginning of the day, you fall on your knees and say to Jesus, kill me. Kill me. I'm my worst problem, Lord. Take me out. Cannot be trusted. Am not reliable. Kill me. In that day, you will experience the touch of Elisha's bones. Is that all right, saints? Is that all right, saints? Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Pastor's done. Lord God, we begin this preachment on the Holy Ghost with a simple message of priority. If we're going to experience the touch of Elisha's bones, we must be willing to die. We must be willing to ask. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Yes, Lord. You're praying right now. There's no way for us to fully understand this sermon I just preached. Not really. Submission is the most difficult thing for a human being to do. Let alone submission to a God we've never seen. But Lord, whether we know it or not, we feel you every day. Leading, whispering, sustaining, keeping. Fall afresh. Forgive us that we don't have Elisha's sense of priority. Most of our prayers, Lord, are still filled with asking you for stuff. I don't know how you don't get tired of us. Stuff. Give me this. Give me that. Do this. Do that. How many times? And I want you to think about it with your head bowed and your eyes closed. I want you to be honest. How many times have you gotten on your knees and have not asked the Lord for anything and begged him for the Holy Ghost? Be honest. We just read it. That gift brings all other things in its train. So if you want this other stuff you've been praying for, pray for the thing you need most. God will take care of the rest. Increase our hunger, O Lord. Increase our hunger. Let me change that prayer, Lord. Increase my hunger. Increase my hunger. Would you say that with me right now? Come on, everybody together. Increase my hunger. Say it again, folk. Increase my hunger. You heard us, Jesus. We're shifting our priorities. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Spend this week in your prayer life doing only two things. Thanking him one, and then asking him for nothing but the Holy Ghost. Thanks and the Holy Ghost. But this is the week I got to pay my mortgage. Thanks. Thank him for paying the mortgage. He's going to do it. Thanks and the Holy Ghost. I challenge you to spend a week making the need for the Holy Ghost, the need for the Holy Ghost, the priority in your prayer. Young person in school, ask for the Holy Ghost. Now my eyes are closed and yours should be. If you're willing to give that a try, raise your hand. Nobody looking around. It's none of your business what somebody else is going to do. Keep your hand up. Lord, you see. Now, you're going to have to remind us, Jesus, because we're used to getting on our knees and asking you for stuff. Whisper, this week, just ask for me. Remind me, this week, just ask for me. And then fill your prayer with thanks. Hand down. Final appeal. You're one of those people who've been thinking about getting up and walking down front for a Bible study, for transfer of membership, for baptism. Bible study, transfer of membership, baptism. And the Holy Spirit has whispered to you today to do that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But now my are open to see if you'll come. Someone respond to that appeal. Bible study, transfer, baptism. Right, you're praying. Thank you for praying. I like that. Everybody's head is down. Folks are praying. Bible study, transfer, baptism. I like that appeal. You'll do that today? I know it's tempting to look up. Just pray. Thank you, Lord. It's been my honor to give the opportunity. It's an honor to represent you and give the opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Now, some of us have made a commitment this week. Help us to fulfill it. Our priority is praying for the touch of Elisha's bones, the possession of ourselves by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you glad you came to church today? God bless you.